Good morning. Good to see you again as we go to the book of Revelations. I reckon y'all gonna have to fire me. Make me quit chasing rabbits. But do thank you much for being with us today. As we continue our study of Revelations, the more you study it, the larger it gets. Amen. And that's a good thing about God's Word, because it always keeps you hungry for it. There's always another bite for us to enjoy as we continue to study it. But I do thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for those who are joining in by the way of internet. Thank you, Lord, for His mercy and grace and His sustaining love. Bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we will begin to look again in the 19th chapter of 18th and 19th chapter of the book of Revelations. Lord, today we do come before you with thankful hearts. Again, realizing that were it not for your grace and mercy, your tender love and your watch care, we would not be able to be here this day. And Lord, I thank you that you've blessed us today that we can be present here in fellowship one with another. But Lord, we know that there are many who have a desire to be here, a burning heart desire to be here, and cannot. And Lord, you know all those situations, and we'd ask that you would bless and watch over them. But Lord, that person that does not have a desire to be here or anywhere, or have anything to do with anything that has your name attached to it, or they're the ones who are in dire need this day, because where do you say today is rapture, then they would find themselves in the tribulation period that we're studying about in the book of Revelations. The Lord would ask that the Holy Spirit would do a work today and work in the heart of all of us, that we might be drawn closer to you who know you, but that one that knows you not, may they be enlightened to who you are and come to know you in saving grace and the forgiveness of their sins. We ask now that you'd bless this body of believers as a group. We ask that you'd bless us as we study and fellowship and worship together today. Humble us down that you might be exalted, and help others to see Christ in us as you bless us to live our lives. No one else to be exalted but you. So humble us now and open your precious word to us and lead us through it by the Holy Spirit. In the precious name of Christ, we pray this day with thankful hearts. Question to you as we start. Why are you here this morning? Well, think about that for just a moment. Why are you here this morning? Why do we gather together, as we do on those occasions that we have those times set that we meet, and we fellowship together? But what's the basics? Our basic reason is to come and worship the Lord. This is where we fellowship together in Him. And I was looking at and thinking about that worship the Lord as I was studying this week. Now, what's the procedure? When we go looking at the Trinity, the Godhead, we worship God the eternal, the one and only God, through Jesus Christ, who gives us access to God, as led by the Holy Spirit. So we have the total Trinity that brings us to a position that we can worship an Almighty God. So the Holy Spirit does its work, and Jesus Christ has given us access to the throne of God that we might worship Him. And I was looking at something, and what I was thinking about as I looked at this was that city of Babylon that we saw fall as we were studying last Sunday, where the great Babylon fell and was destroyed. And all of a sudden, I began to think on that. So let me give you, I'm having a hard time painting a picture that I want us to hold in our mind and help us to comprehend what's taking place. Now, let's think about a hub or wheel for just a moment. And let's do it with a wagon wheel. Everybody knows what a wagon wheel is, okay? Now, in the center of that wagon wheel, you have the hub. And then you have the spokes going out to the round wheel. But everything comes back to the center of that, the hub, the focal point. Now, what we see in Revelations, and what we've seen with the great city of Babylon, the woman, the harlot, and the beast, that's the hub of the wheel, so to speak. And everything that we see going on in the tribulation period is going to be involved in that wheel and that focused on that hub of that wheel. Now, it probably would scare us to death today if we knew what underlying things are still in place that very quickly in the tribulation period, the great city of Babylon can be rebuilt. Now, Babylon will be, you know, it's like our Washington, D.C. with our president and our Congress. And they don't care anything about us, by the way, just like Satan and Antichrist don't care anything about anybody but them, too. They're the hub. But therein lies the strength, so to speak, of the United States. That's where our government tells us what we're going to do. Takes our money and gives it away. Now, we're going to have that same situation with Babylon when it's rebuilt and reestablished. And it's going to be the center of commerce, and it's going to be the center of religion, universal church. And it's all going to be focused on that hub of Babylon. Now, as I looked at that, something came back to my mind, and I was looking at the fall of that great city. So if you'd allow me to chase that rabbit again for just a little bit, I want you to back up with me to the 13th chapter again, and we've done this a couple of times. But there's a couple of things here I want us to look at carefully. And if you mark your Bible, I want you to write some things here. I want you to underline some things here, because we're talking about this beast and this woman again. Now, in the 13th chapter of the first verse, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. I mean, we talked about this. And upon his head, ten crowns, and upon his head, the name blasphemer. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and we talked about all these things that they represent. and the bear in the mouth like a lion. But now look at the next phrase in this verse. And the dragon. Now, who's the dragon? What's the dragon represent? All right, that's Satan himself, okay? So now here we have the beast, the Antichrist, okay? Now, here it says the dragon gave to him his what? His power. So now all the power that this beast, that's the hub that we've been talking about, where is his power going to come from? So it's going to come from the devil. So here we find that Antichrist is getting his power from the devil, from Satan himself. And he's given his seat and his great authority. So now who has put him into position as the hub? So here we find that the devil has put him into position. The devil has given him the power. And when we look at the great Babylon and the great whore, the false church, and we saw the beast the other day, and she was sitting on the beast. So as we begin, they're giving their powers to her. And she has gone, and we've seen now the great city of Babylon. You say, how in the world can it be created that fast? In the age we live in, things can happen in a hurry. You think about how much faster things can proceed now. In fact, Brother Tim, we're talking about he's trying to sell a house in Florida. And he said, you know, they do everything now electronic. He said, I might never even see the people that buy the house. No, it's totally changed. And everything's click, click, click. And everything's going to be lined up now. When the rapture church takes place, everything's going to be lined up so Antichrist can come in and this great whore can come in and begin to establish the universal church and establish the economy system. And Babylon is it. It's going to be the headquarters of all the commerce and all religions. Okay? Now, watch as we go on. And he said, I saw the head, and he said, one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the what? The beast. Now, all the what? World. Now, who's got control already? Here he is in control. Click. It don't take long for him to gain control. But now he's talking about the world, but he just don't know who's really in control. He can say he controlled the world, but the Lord controlled the whole universe, right? But it says they wondered after the beast, and they worshiped. Now, I want you to notice that word. You underline that word worship. Now, I asked you when we started a while ago, why are we gathered here today? And we are gathered here today, I said, to worship. And that worship comes, the worship of God comes through Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what are you seeing here? Here we're seeing that false trinity. And what is that false trinity all about? That false trinity is all about getting everybody to worship that dragon, the devil. And you watch this, and they worship the dragon. Notice that. Which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the what? The beast. We worship God, and we worship Christ as we're led by the Holy Spirit to do so. So you can see a perfect counterfeit here of the Trinity of the Almighty God with Satan. They worship the beast, saying, who is likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. So now he's on on fire now. And he opened his mouth with blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now, who is all their blaspheming directed to? It's to God and to all those in heaven and anybody that has to do anything with God. All the blasphemy is against them. Now, go down with me to verse number 11. And he said, I heard another beast come up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake like a what? So outside appearance, there's nothing. That I know of, they might be somewhere in God's creation that has less ability to defend himself than a lamb. He just don't have anything to defend himself with. So now here on the outside, this beast looks like that little old loving and feeble lamb. But what's in the heart? Look at the next phrase. He's got his horns like a lamb, but he speaks as a what? The devil himself. So he's completely full of the devil. The Holy Spirit is God in Christ. The Holy Spirit's full of God in Christ. Here is a representation, this beast that we see here, that comes out of the earth. This beast is a representation of the false prophet, which is the equal to the Holy Spirit of the Trinity of God. The devil, the dragon, the Antichrist, and here the false prophet, the devil's Trinity. Verse number 12. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. Now, where's he getting his power? He's got the same power that the first beast has got. And where did he get his power from? He got his power from the dragon, from the devil. And he exercises that power that he's got and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Notice again in this verse, which dwell therein to worship. There's the word again, underline it. And to worship who? A worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders. Now you say, how in the world can the great city Babylon, how can you build a great city and it take over the whole world in just a matter of, it appears to me, in days almost. And how could it become the headquarters and the focus of everything? Don't you ever be deceived on the power of the devil. And you look at these next verses now. Oh, you say, oh, ain't no way in the world that can happen. He can't do that. They can't. Well, you better watch this. Now, here we're talking about the false prophet. And look what it says. Now, it already says that he caused the earth. Notice the earth. It don't say just a few people, does it? He says it caused the earth and them that dwell therein, all of them, to worship him which had the deadly wound. And he doth great, notice that word great what? Great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Do you think he'd have any trouble getting a city built if they have this kind of power? And he said, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image. Okay, let's get a little bit stronger in what his ability is. So now let's get an image made. Goes back to old scripture. What got Daniel in the lion's den? He didn't worship the king, did he? Got him in the lion's den. What's going to get those in the tribulation period in trouble if they don't bow? If they don't get the mark of the beast. They don't get the mark of the devil. No selling, no buying, starved to death, terrible. And it says that those that dwell on earth, that they should make an image to the beast. So it's going to be the image to the beast, which hath the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give, and tell me what the next word is. Life. That's hard for me to comprehend. I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard for me to comprehend. That God Almighty would allow a false prophet to have that kind of power. But he said he gave that beast life. He gave life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. Daniel, you better not pray to your Lord, because if you do, what's going to happen to you? I'm going to throw you in the lion's den. That's kind of a death sentence, is it not? All right, now, if everybody don't bow to this image, then what's going to happen? They're sitting on death row. You're either going to... See, that's like it is with the mark of the beast. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you're doomed. If you don't battle this image, you're doomed. Satan's in charge. The hub's at work. And he's supreme. And his false trinity now is supreme. So it says... I've got you between a rock and a hard place now. Verse number 16. And he causeth, what happens? They go to doing what? They go to doing exactly what he said do. It said he causeth all, A-L-L, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. And here's the mark. Now, where's the mark at? In their right hand or in their forehead? You're going to get the devil's tattoo. And if you don't get it, you're in trouble. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast of the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666, or 666. There you are. If you don't fall in that category, you're doomed. And that's something that comes about in a hurry when the tribulation period begins. Now, that's the reason when we go back over again now to where we've been studying. That's the reason that we see what we see. because that hub has been at work. And this great city is a Babylon whore, the commercial center. But we saw in verse 18, but now let me read again to you. And you're going to get tired of hearing this probably before this is over. But I want you to keep in mind who's in charge. Because look back with me again at chapter number 17. And let's look at verse number 17 of 17. For God hath put it in their hearts. Now, remember, if we back up, we look at the beast and the ten kings and those things. All of Satan's group, all his army, so to speak. And why are they doing what they're doing? It says in verse number 7, for God hath put it in their hearts. Where? The innermost part of them. They're all driving for one central goal. God hath put it in their heart to fulfill his will and to agree. Now, they don't know that that's what's taking place, but God put it in their heart to do all these things that he might fulfill his will to bring judgment in the world. And that's where we're going now. To fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast and to the until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And there's your hub. And they are working just as hard as they can to get themselves stuck up on a pedestal they might be worshiping. Satan got his Trinity at work. He's got his universal at church at work. And he's got everything going his way. And all he's doing is fulfilling the will of God and the Word of God. He's bringing judgment on himself and don't even know it. Now, how do we know that to be true? Because all you got to do is look and see what happens in the next, we talked about last Sunday. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, where is this coming from? This is directed from heaven. And it says this that's directed from heaven is coming down with what kind of power? Great power. Whole lot more than Satan got. You think Satan got power? God says, universe, there it is. And he cried mightily with a strong voice. Notice it says strong again. It says great power. It says a strong voice said, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the whole of every foul spirit. And it tells you what kind of woman, unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine. See, everybody, the whole world, everybody that don't have the mark's doomed. So everybody got that mark. But those called ones, there'll be some that won't take it. But they got a death sentence too. That's what it says. It says if you don't take the mark, you what? You get killed. You don't worship the image, you what? You get killed. See, if you stand up for Christ in this tribulation period, it's a death sentence. But here is her death sentence. And we find that she's destroyed. We talked about it last Sunday. Therefore, in the eighth verse, it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. You notice that last phrase. For what? For strong is the Lord God who does what? Who judgeth her. It's a bad position to be in under the judgment of God. I sure am glad that I'm under his blood and not under his judgment today. Thank the Lord that my sins are paid for. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Amen. Now look at how the world perceives this. Now there's going to be some terrible times. You know, if we go back and we look, and it talks about all those terrible judgments that come upon the earth. I think about when God was preparing to bring his children out of Egypt. And we think about all those plagues that took place. You know, Pharaoh says, let them go. And he says, no. Well, his decision brought a lot of problem on the people, didn't it? And here, who's running the show? We find that the decisions and the things that Satan and his fake Trinity is trying to bring, is bringing judgment on the world. But in the process of all that, there must have been some fairly decent times too. I was going to go back and read, and I don't never finish Revelation if I keep going back. But you remember some of those judgments when it talked about that the plague came and a third of this happened. And a third was affected, and a third was affected, and a third was affected. Well, if you take a third out, then how many does that leave? See, that leaves two-thirds that's still available. So here we see that many die in the process of this tribulation period. But still, many are living through the process of the tribulation period, and they're suffering through this tribulation period. But those that have got the mark of the beast are getting along much better than those that don't. And here we see just a little glimpse of maybe, if you want to say, a bright side. So let's read this in verse number 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live how? Deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So now how did they live because of her? It must have had some kind of enjoyment in it. You know, their businesses must have done pretty good. Because it said they lived deliciously. And it says they stand in the far off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Well, yeah. I said a while ago, it probably didn't take them long to establish that great city Babylon again. I bet you it took them longer to establish and it did for God to destroy it. Because how long did it take him to wipe it out? 1 hour and she is no more. She's done with. And here all those who have been involved in all the fornication and all the lust and everything that goes along with her. Here, all of a sudden, they're standing here amazed. She's gone. What are we going to do now? You're talking about an economy bursting. This one bursted. And it bursted in 1 hour. 1 hour. Stock market went down in a hurry, didn't it? And it says in the merchants of the earth. Notice it says the earth. It does not say around Babylon. It says the earth. They were the hub of the whole earth, the whole economy. It says the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The stock market has bursted. The merchandise of gold and of silver and precious stone and of pearl and fine linens and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels, more precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ornaments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Did we miss anything? I want you to look at something in this verse now. Look at the last phrase of this verse. And slaves and souls of men. Had slaves, didn't they? Souls of men didn't need a lot to them. It says, and the fruits that of thy soul lustest after are departed from thee. Now, look at this verse with me again. And the what? Verse number 14. And the what? Fruits, okay? The fruits of thy, next word, soul, the most inner being, the heart and the soul of man. What were they doing? The fruits of the soul are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at what? At all. So all those fruits that you've been watering in and enjoying, it's over. It's gone. And it's finished. Judgment is come. It says, and the merchants of these things which were made rich by her. Notice that phrase. How did those merchants fare? We're talking about the tribulation period, but according to that, they fared pretty well, didn't they? Oh, they're enduring, but they've endured all the suffering that's gone on. But they got the mark of the beast. It says, made rich by her, shall stand afar off from her, for her torment, and let me get this back again. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linens and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Now, I want you to look at something else in this verse. It says that this great city was what? Clothed. When you look at an individual, you see the clothes they wear, okay? You do not see the internal. And she's clothed in all that fine-looking stuff. But what is she inside? And it's been described to us what she is inside. She's the devil himself inside. But she's clothed in all this fine-looking stuff. But it says in 17, for in 1 hour, so great riches is come to what? Don't make any difference how much you got. When God rings the bell at the end of the day, you better have something more than what you're depending on. when the stock market bell rings, it's closed, right? Well, when the trumpet sounds, it's closed. And you better not be depending on what you've done. You better be depending on the saving grace of the Almighty God. So when 1 hour of riches have come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and the ships and the sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off, and they cried, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Is God's judge real? Is God's judge strong? And is God's judgment true? He does what he said he'd do, and our time's gone, and we'll have to close. Now, I want you to keep in mind between now and next Sunday, Lord willing, the thing I want you to keep in mind now is these merchants' reactions. What did it say they are doing? They are weeping and wailing and crying and throwing dust. I mean, just destroyed. But when we start, Lord willing, next Sunday, I don't chase another rabbit before we start. We're going to see what happens in heaven. But now let me read one verse. First verse in chapter number 20, first word in that verse says, rejoice. Rejoice. There's a difference in crying and rejoicing. God bless you and thank you for being with us today.